All right, guys, welcome to another episode. Today, I'm going to be talking about a question that was submitted by a friend of mine, former student, and a really good guy, awesome guy, Chris Calhoun. So thank you for submitting this awesome question. Thank you for your kind words too. I'm not going to read the like the compliment part of the question, but I'm going to get right to the question. So the question here is, I would love to hear or read about how you personally keep a great attitude and great composure when dealing with difficult dogs or people. Okay, so how do you personally keep a great attitude and great composure when dealing with difficult dogs or people? Now, Chris knows me on a personal level. He knows me. He spent some time working with me. So he, he knows that I smile a lot, I laugh a lot, and in general, I'm a pretty nice guy. In general, I am, I like people. I like dogs. I like what I do. I'm a very happy person in general. As a whole, I do have my down days, and I do have my challenges, but in general, I'm a happy guy. So this does. This does kind of show through. And other people have told me the same thing. Man, you're always smiling, you're always laughing. And here is the thing. I love what I do. I absolutely love what I do. Okay. Everything I do, I try to do it with passion. I try to do it with love and care and I'm very, very into anything I do. When I dedicate myself to something, I go to it 100%. But I do have my off days. I do have those people. It's usually the people. It's rarely the dogs. I do have those people that do sometimes kind of challenge my patience to a small degree. Okay, not a whole lot. I can still keep a very good cool head, a very very cool head, very good composure even when I'm dealing with difficult people. Actually, I was just talking about this earlier with my buddy Derek, and we were talking about this. We were talking about just kind of living in the moment. And just going at it with passion, right? So how do I keep my composure? And some tips that I think are gonna help you with this too is, one, with the dogs, it's easy. With the dogs, you have to just remember that you're dealing with an animal. That's what I was telling my buddy earlier. Whenever I get frustrated with a dog, I quickly remind myself it's just a dog. It's just a dog. That's all it is. It's just a dog. I don't concern myself too much about that because then I think to myself, this is just an animal. It's doing whatever it thinks it's in its best interest. He's not trying to be spiteful. He's not trying to dominate me. I don't take it as a personal insult. I just look inwards and I think to myself, what am I doing wrong here? What am I communicating wrong here? Okay. What am I miscommunicating to the dog? Just last night, I had club over here at my property and I was doing a training session with my dog, Rust. I was working on the fended. This is where the helper blocks the primary target. So his primary target is the upper body. And so then he has to go for the secondary target, which is the legs. Now, if your dog is a leg dog, the fended scenario, you block the legs, and then the dog has to go for the upper body. This is a level two scenario, and he's been making progress. But last night, we had him practice this in several sessions. So we practiced it, and this time, what I used was I had the decoy suited, and I had the decoy. My friend Isaac, he was holding a sleeve. So the sleeve now is a temptation possibly for the dogs, right? So the dog has to bypass the sleeve and go for the person. This is something I had done a little bit too, but again, I hadn't done it in quite a bit of time. So I did the training session, and Russ struggled with that a little bit. So he just kind of kept going for the sleeve. And I say kept going, but, you know, he did it like 3 times total. But it seems at that moment like he's doing it on and on and on, right? Because you are frustrated. And I remember feeling frustrated. I was thinking, damn, well, dude, just go for the land. And I am helping him. I'm not setting him up for failure. I'm doing this on a leash. I'm helping him out. But he's still wanting to go to the sleeve. And I just thought to myself, I need to stop feeling frustrated, and I need to think of creative ways to address this. Maybe I need to lower the bar a little bit. Okay, maybe I need to do this a couple more times. And he wasn't getting, you know, he wasn't being successful. Like, he wasn't grabbing the sleeve and going crazy with the sleeve and me just being 50 feet away from him and going, damn it, I can't believe he did that. I was right there helping him throughout the entire process. And I was helping him be successful. But his attention kept going to the sleeve. He kept looking at the sleeve. So I thought to myself, he's just a dog. And I got frustrated, but I immediately thought to myself, I'm getting frustrated with myself here. Okay? And I've seen what people do when they get frustrated on the field, whether it's with pet dogs, client dogs. Unfortunately, I've seen this too with people doing this with client dogs, and especially with their personal dogs, especially with their sport dogs. I've seen people get so frustrated that they start smacking their dogs. I've seen people kicking their dogs because they're getting frustrated. So that's one thing that I don't want to do. I'm not going to do. That's not what I do. So I know that's just out of the question for me. So I thought to myself, okay, how can I do this? So long story short, not going to bore you with all the details of how we did this, how we got to this point. But long story short, I didn't get upset with Rust. I didn't correct them and go, hey, screw you, stupid. I didn't do any of that. I just helped them be successful. And we ended that session in a very good note. We did like 3 bites towards the end of the session where he bypassed the sleeve and he went for the leg, his secondary target. And we did that, and we did that, and he did great. We ended it on a very good note because I was able to be clear-headed about this. I was able to be cool-headed about this and think through it and realize that Rust is just a very drivey dog. Once he gets in drive, it's very difficult for him to think straight. So sometimes I have to slow it down for him because this is the type of dog he is. Some dogs can work through a lot of complexities, and they can think through problems a little bit differently, a little bit better. Some dogs, like Rust, they don't think that way. So you have to kind of change it up. You have to slow it down, and you have to like break it into more basic pieces for it to make sense to that dog. So I put that accountability on me, not on the dog. Now, training other people's dogs, I've had the same thing, right? I've got the client dog, and I'm thinking, this dog is so hard to motivate. Dang it, why is he so hard to motivate? The big one is when you have a client dog that's staying with you, or you're watching somebody's dog, and you take them to go potty, and they don't want to go potty because they're in a new place, they don't know you. You know they have to go, and they're going to go back in your house, and you know they have to go. And you know they're holding it. You take them out, and they just go, yeah, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to wait. I don't know you. I don't know this place. It's kind of new. I don't feel like going. Occasionally, you're going to run into that. And you've already run into that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It can be very frustrating. You're like, dude, I know you need to go. You've been drinking all this water. And we're going to go. We're going to put you away for the night. And I know you got to go. I don't want you to go in your crate. And so you have to show that patience. Okay, here's the thing. I'm not perfect. I do sometimes let frustration get the better of me. It happens. I just make it a point to not fly off the handle. Okay, I just make it a point to not do that. I'm not gonna start wailing on a dog and pinning him and doing all kinds of crazy stuff because I am frustrated. I immediately think to myself, and there are some times where yes, I do think to myself, damn it, you stupid dog, what are you thinking, right? Or why are you not figuring this out? I do think that. I'm not gonna tell you that, oh, I love all dogs and they're all great and I just love them all and they're all awesome and I never have a thought that is not nice about dogs. No, there are times where I definitely go, I think to myself, stupid dog. Okay. That's, I'm being transparent. That's how sometimes the frustration gets the better of me. That's as far as I let it go. Okay, there are some things that I know I'm not going to do. I'm not going to kick a dog. I'm not going to, I'm not going to helicopter a dog. I'm not going to slam a dog in midair against the ground. I'm not going to do any of these crazy things that I've seen people do. I that's out of the question. That's not even an option for me. So I just think to myself, what do I have here? I have an animal. I cannot let this animal control my emotions. I cannot be that weak where I let an animal control my emotions. An animal that is not even trying to get the better of me. I mean, if a person does it, if a person's trying to get the better of you, if a person's trying to push your buttons, at least that's a worthy adversary. I mean, if a person's trying to push your buttons and they get to you, you can say, this freaking person, they got the better of me. But an animal that is not even trying to do that, and you give them that power, that just, to me at least, I look at it as, if I let that happen, I'm surrendering my control, the control of my emotions, to an animal. I can't allow that. So I'm not going to. Okay? Now, I do sometimes get frustrated, just like I said. And if I did not get a hold of my emotions, I know I would get probably physical with the dogs if I had no control of my emotions. I've never had that problem. At some point, I always think to myself, I can't even fathom like doing that. Okay, so I instantly get a hold of my emotions. I heard a very good quote that, we all have our demons. We all have our demons. And sometimes some people get frustrated pretty easy and then they get physical. They get physical with their children. I'm not talking about the debate of whether spanking is good or bad. I'm not even going to go into that. But I'm just saying, some people, their demons are, when they get frustrated, they explode and they get physical. I've seen these people have dogs and work with dogs. I see it and it's a shame. It's a shame that there are quote-unquote professionals that are out there doing that. But I just can't do that. I can't be one of those people, okay? So we all have our demons, right? Back to the quote. We all have our demons. Here's the next part of the quote that I really liked. We never get rid of them. We never get rid of our demons. We just rise above them. So we all have our demons. We never get rid of them. We just rise above them. You just have to rise above. Okay, this means that you are going to lose your patience. You are going to get frustrated. You just have to be better than that. You have to choose. Okay, and so when my friend right here is asking me, how do you maintain a composure? And a great attitude with the dogs, it's easy. People, now here is the challenge. Okay, with people, here's the challenge. With people, it can be difficult because people now are much more manipulative. Okay, a dog is not trying to manipulate you. Trust me, a dog is not trying to play with your feelings. A person can get frustrated with you, or maybe they are, maybe they have issues. I've worked with people like that too. Okay. I've been working with people for a very long time. I've been working with dog handlers, dog trainers, like dog handlers as in canine handlers, dog trainers, dog training students. So people from all walks of life, different backgrounds, different belief systems, different cultures. And when you work with that many people and different clients, right? When you work with that many people, you're bound to run into people that are not going to bring the best out of you, at least internally, right? You're going to find those people occasionally that maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they're good people and they just had a bad day. Or maybe they're just shitty people, flat out. Maybe they're just shitty, shitty people. I know people. Here's the different categories that there's really like three main categories that you can lump people in. There's the victim. Okay. The victim is the person that they don't want to take responsibility for their problems. And these are also dog trainers. These are also clients. These are also coworkers. These are just people in general. Okay. So this is the person that if you try to help them, if you are able to help them, they will find reasons why it's still not enough. They'll find reasons why maybe it just doesn't work out. And if it doesn't work out, they will point the finger everywhere else. Okay. That's just how they are. It's like, oh, it's you. Or, oh, it's the system. Or, oh, it's the tool. The tool did it. It's the tool. Oh, it's the dog. Stupid dog, right? Oh, it's something else, some external factor. Because it's easy to blame somebody else or something else than to just assume the responsibility and go, what do I do about this? Okay, so these are the people that do like this victim mentality. And sometimes these people can be difficult because they can be really nice people, super, super nice people until something triggers their victim mentality. And now like they start pointing fingers everywhere and you just want to go, dude, nobody is to blame. You need to look at how you can make this better for you, for your dog, whatever the situation is, right? So this is a type of difficult person that sometimes can be very frustrating because, you know, if you're not a victim type person, you can't resonate with that. You can't relate to that. If I was a victim mentality type of person and I get another victim mentality type of person go, oh man, this is terrible. I could go, yeah, I know, that sucks, right? I know, God, this is awful. Whatever the case, okay, or if this person goes, you're terrible, and I have a victim mentality, and I can go, no, you're terrible, and then we'll just go back and forth. And this is how this type of person can kind of get in your nerves, right? The other type of person that you're going to have, the other type of person, I said three different categories. The second group of people is the information addict. The information addict is the person that they're great attitude, but it's never enough, right? The information addict is the person that will like go, yeah, this is great, but I'm also reading this, and I read this in that article, and I watched this video, and I saw this, and you're like, okay, well, that's good. I want you to seek information. Okay, that's good. That's perfect. But let's just kind of stick with this for a little bit, and so with your clients, it can be the person that, again, they're just trying from one thing to another, and it turns out that it affects their consistency. So now it affects their consistency, and now this gets frustrating for the dog, gets frustrating for the owner. Obviously, this gets frustrating with you. I've had those clients, I've worked with those people, and you have to. That's the second type of person, right? The third type of person, they're not really going to give you a hard time. The third type of person is the people that get shit done. That's the third type of people. the people that take responsibility, the people that assume accountability, and the people that are willing to get it done. And if they screw up, they go, I screwed up. This is how I want to fix it. Please help me fix it. Okay, those people are great. They're usually not, the people that take responsibility are not usually the ones that are going to give you a hard time. They're not gonna typically upset you. It's the victim, or it's the person that, you know, things are never enough. So those are the types of people. And now how I learned to deal with those people is, you know, I've had my moments where I'm like, damn it. why are you like this? So one way that I found to deal with these people is, here's the crazy thing, okay? So I just spent probably the last, like the last 10 minutes or so complaining about people, right? I just spent the last 10 minutes complaining about people. Oh, man, people suck. People suck. And now I run the risk of being in that category of the victim, right? Like, oh, people, these two categories, they suck because they manipulate your emotions and then they get the better of you. But here is how I, okay, this is me. Question is directed at me, so I'm telling you how I deal with it. How I deal with it is, this is the crazy thing. I learn to have compassion for these people. I've learned to develop compassion for people. I really have. Even when I'm in that moment where I'm like, damn it, I've learned to think to myself, you know, this person is a victim, right? The victim category. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know if they've gone through some really hard times. I don't know if they're maybe at the moment going through really hard times that I'm not aware of. I just happen to see them for one tiny fraction of their lives, of their day, of their routine. And I'm just kind of catching the fallout. So how I deal with those people is, instead of me going, God, you suck, okay? Even though that does come through, again, you don't get rid of your demons. You just rise above them. You don't get rid of your demons. You just rise above them, okay? I'm a human being. I am going to have these emotions. So even though at times I'm like, this freaking person, I think to myself, what is it that could be contributing to this person behaving this way? And I don't need to find out. I don't need to immerse myself in their lives and go, oh my gosh, poor guy, poor. I don't want to resonate with that either. So I just have compassion. I choose not to resonate with that, and I just choose to move on. I don't entertain the complaints, like if they're personal, I don't entertain them. I don't make them personal. I just let it go. I just don't even think about it. I don't go, freaking person, I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he's acting like that. I just found that the best way for me to maintain my composure and have a good attitude is I go, I have compassion for this person. I don't feel sorry for them. I don't feel pity. I just go, he's a human being. You know, I have been in that category at one point in my life. And chances are most of us have been. So when you have that difficult client, that difficult person, you just think to yourself, if I was in their shoes, maybe I would be acting the same way. If I also have other things bombarding me that I don't know what this person is going through. You don't have to go, oh, I love you, you know, I just love you no matter what. You don't have to think that way. You just learn to have compassion and move on. And when you do that, you're taking responsibility for your own feelings. This goes back to me not giving that person control over my feelings. Same thing with the information addict. If the person that goes, I want to try this, I want to try that, and I want to do it this way, I want to do it that way. And you're like, dude, just stay consistent. I think to myself, why are they like this? Okay. They want to get better. There's a good angle there. They're trying to improve. They're trying to do it better. They're trying to do it faster. That's definitely a worthy trait. It's definitely a good trait. Okay, I mean, it does get in the way sometimes, but you look at it and you go, I look at this person and I go, I see why you're doing that. And so if you're my client or if I'm working with you, I'm just going to look at it this way. You're trying to do your best. You're trying to improve your dog. You're trying to, whatever situation, this is not just related to dog training, as I'm sure you've already noticed if you've been listening to this up to this point. This can be very applicable to everything. The thing about dog training is you are working with people. One common thing that people say is, I work with dogs because I don't like people. You're going to work with people. And the people are the ones that are going to get in your way. This is why a lot of dog trainers are good with dogs. They're not very good with people. So that's how I deal with it. So that was a great question. Awesome, awesome question. Here's another thing too. Here's another type of instance that kind of makes it challenging when you are working with people, that makes it, it's when the person, whichever category they're in, they're confrontational, right? And it's now like a conflict. And whatever the case might be, maybe they're frustrated, maybe they are victims, and their best way to express themselves is by getting personal, by getting emotional, and by attacking you. And so now you're like on the receiving end of this. And I just think to myself, yeah, this is uncomfortable. This is awkward as hell. But I have to make that decision to go, I'm gonna deal with this. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna deal with this. Okay. Yeah, there are some times where you can just turn around and walk away and go, I'm not gonna deal with this. This person is a victim and I'm just gonna walk away and not gonna deal with this. There are times where you're just gonna have to deal with this. And there are times where you're gonna have to confront some awkward situations. I remember I was in Afghanistan. I was working with the handlers. I was a trainer at this base, and there have been some. There's a lot of detail going on here, so I'm gonna get to the main part of this story. There was this other trainer, okay, and this trainer and I had different backgrounds, which is not a big deal. So they were, for the most part, like 90% of what we did, we were on the same page. It's only about 10% that it was a little bit off, but nothing drastic, just minor things here and there. So this led to some disagreements, obviously, but disagreements don't have to turn into fights. Well, this person, this other guy, made it personal. He turned it into a conflict. And we had this scenario where I was like, I have to face this. Again, I'm not going to bore you with the details. But it was one of those moments where I had to talk to this guy and go, hey, what's going on? And this escalated very quickly into a pissing contest. I was younger. I was in my 20s. So I was full of piss and vinegar myself. I'm in my 30s now, and I'm still got some piss and vinegar in me. But in my 20s, you know, I was younger, much more, much more full of piss and vinegar then. And I just had to confront this. And this turned into a pissing contest. And we were literally inches from each other as we were just going back and forth. Because this became personal. This wasn't even about, oh, well, this is why I trained this way. Oh, well, I trained this way. It wasn't like that. It was just, he very quickly made it personal. And I was not turning away. I wasn't going to walk away with my tail between my legs. Again, I'm not perfect. Okay, so I was just waiting. If you heard my first episode on my podcast, the first episode, which is about the podcast or about Dog Trainers My Passion, something like that. I did say on there that when I was younger, I used to get in fights all the time. Okay, I just got in fights all the time. And it baffles me when I talk to some people that sometimes are like, oh yeah, we talk about our childhood. And every once in a while, I'll have people that go, you know, I've never been in a fight. my buddy Derek is the same way. Like, when I've talked to him about this, like, hey, I've never been in a fight. I'm like, never? Never? And he's like, no, I've never been in a physical fight. That's just, but he did do sports. He did do contact sports. So that kind of makes up for it, I guess. But anyway, I don't want to digress too much. So I'm thinking to myself at that point, oh my God, this is going to happen. I haven't been in a fight in like a long time. And like, it's been years. It's been years. Been well over a decade since I've been well over a decade since I've been in a physical confrontation. And, you know, you're young. Testosterone is just all flowing through. And I just like, hey, touch me. Just go ahead and touch me. We resolved it. We didn't fight. Everything was fine after that. But what I'm getting at is there are times where you just have to face it. There are times where I know I'm going to go into a situation where there is already going to be disagreements. And I've dealt with this with coworkers, with supervisors, where I had to go in there and I'm already anticipating there's going to be a big disagreement, with students, with clients, where I know I'm going to have to deal with some sort of confrontation. I know there's going to be a disagreement. I know it. I know it's going to happen. You know exactly what I'm talking about because you've probably dealt with it too at some point in maybe some different situation. So you sometimes have to deal with it. And you go, I know what's going to happen when I go in there. Maybe you're going to get chewed out. Maybe there is going to be something else. Something. I mean, the possibilities are endless here, right? And despite you having a great attitude, yes, as much as I smile and I'm a happy guy, there are times where I know I'm walking into a situation where there will be some major disagreements, where there will be a sit down, where there will be a hard conversation. And it is uncomfortable and it is awkward. I just think to myself, this is only a fraction. This is just a little tiny piece in my life. This is not my life. I have to get through this uncomfortable, awkward situation for a moment, but it's not going to last very long. And I'm just going to go there with as much confidence as I can. And it is uncomfortable. I don't care. It's just going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to go there. I'm going to deal with the discomfort. And that's another thing, too, that I have learned to not only accept, but embrace. If I perceive an uncomfortable situation, rather than trying to run away from it or trying to shield myself as much as I can, I already know it's going to be uncomfortable. And I just go, I have to embrace it. This is going to be uncomfortable. And I just have to face this head on. And I've learned to look at these uncomfortable situations as growth opportunities where I think to myself, this is going to suck. This is going to be uncomfortable. whatever it is, right? That awkward situation, that awkward conversation. I think to myself, well, good. I need to do more of those. So that's how I deal with it. I don't think the person that flies off the handle and acts all tough and like hammers everything down and they're like, oh, this is how it's gonna be, period. I don't think those people are tough. I think they're weak. And that's why they shield themselves with toughness, because they are weak. It's just a shell to protect the soft middle. So I just want to be as happy as I can be. I want to live my life and work whatever dog I'm working with just enjoying what I'm doing and have compassion for the dogs, realize that they're just animals. They're not trying to play with my feelings. And two, when I work with those people, occasionally, you're not going to run into these people like that every day. And if you do run into difficult people all the time, you need to look inwards. If you're running into difficult clients all the time, if you're running into difficult club members all the time, you're running into dog professionals that are always pissing you off and you're always conflicted with all the time, you really need to look inwards. It might not be them. You might be somehow attracting those people. But occasionally, when they do happen, when they do show up, okay, you have to learn to compose yourself. You have to learn to have that composure and not give that power to anybody, and just learn to laugh about it and have compassion for those people. I'm not perfect, okay, but these are ways that I have learned to maintain a pretty happy attitude. And that's, I get this all the time. I get the you look so happy, or you're always smiling thing. I've always gotten it because that's what I aim for. Anyway, I know this episode was not so much about dog training as much as it was more of a journal or diary entry into a little bit about me. But anyway, so thank you very much for the question, Chris. That was an awesome question. And I hope that you guys were able to get some value out of this. Just remember, check out Facebook, Instagram, Dog Training is My Passion. Check out YouTube and take a look at that interview with Bart Ballone, Bart and Michael Ballone. It's on YouTube now. I'm going to see if I can make an episode out on the podcast too, for those of you that are listening to the podcast primarily. But if you go to YouTube, I have uploaded the Michael Ballone and Bart Ballone interview, where we talked about some really crazy hot topics there. Sensitive topics. Michael and Bart opened up quite a bit. And some of the things that we talked about were definitely controversial. Again, good stuff. All good stuff. And they wanted to do it that way. They wanted to be transparent. And they told me, we don't care. We're just gonna say how it is. So it's a pretty long interview, pretty lengthy interview, but it is full of just awesome information. So go check it out. It's on YouTube at Dog Training is My Passion, and it's a full interview with Bart and Michael Ballone. So make sure you check that out. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.